Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Weissoon. If you enjoy real-world hunting and fishing talk, you're really going to enjoy listening to my good friend, Luke Clayton, and his guest for the next hour.
This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past three decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper outdoors column that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers. Luke is on the pro staff of Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Smoking Tech's electric smokers and AGM Global Vision, maker of an awesome line of thermal hunting scopes and spotters. Feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guests for this week's show.
Well, Mr. Fox and Mr. Weissoon, thank y'all very much for that nice introduction. And Larry, it's about time for you to tell all our friends who makes it possible for Larry Weissoon to be with us here on Catfish Radio every week, right?
Luke, it's been such a pleasure for all these years. And of course, we're brought to them by DSC, Conservation, Education, Hunter Advocacy, Hornady, Accurate, Deadly, Dependable. Taurus makers are some of the finest hunting handguns that would be found anywhere, I should say. Stealth Vision, a new company that's come on board from Crockett, Texas, that builds the finest hunting scopes I've ever been around, binoculars and spotting scopes as well, too. And, of course, by our friends from Vineyard Max, who produce the Vineyard Max deer bait, but also some absolutely fantastic feeders for both for deer and turkeys and fish and just all kinds of other great products. Actually, they're working on a knife right now that they're going to be producing in the future that'll have my name on it. So really proud to be associated with them. Let's talk a little bit about deer. I mean, I know it's not hunting season yet, but we're right at that first week of May, and that's generally in the past when I've seen the first whitetail fawns in my place down in Colorado County. And those are having fawns. They're producing milk. Fawns are trying to grow. Bucks are trying to grow antlers. And they're about to get interesting again where you can actually see what they may look like a little bit later on this fall.
True, Larry. It probably sounds like a broken record, but this time of the year, if you happen to be driving down the road or out on your lease or whatever, and you see a poor little old fawn laying there by itself, don't pick it up. It's probably not by itself, is it, Larry?
You're exactly right. You leave mom's not very far away. They tend to hang pretty close. But a lot of times, too, as you just mentioned, somebody be driving around the road, and for whatever reason, maybe that doe feels like that fawn is protected close to that road or close to a pasture road, or you may just be walking out in your garden, and there's a little fawn, and you go, oh, my God, this thing's been abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
Mom's not very far away, and just kind of admire it from a distance. Don't touch it. Don't try to walk over and pick it up, or you might spook it, but just kind of leave it alone, and that mother will be back in there before too very long, so she's not very far away watching what's going on.
Right.
But again, let's talk a little bit about the antlers, because I know having fawns is important, because if we don't have a whole good fawn crop, next year we're not going to have any yearlings or two-year-olds the following year, or three-year-olds, four-year-olds, kind of thing down the road. But on the antlers, right now is such an important time nutritionally, and we've been so very blessed, particularly in the eastern half of the state of Texas, to have had rain, and that rain has produced a tremendous amount of deer forage, particularly in terms of weeds. And then there's a little plant out there that a lot of people, I used to have a friend from New Mexico, used to call it green barbed wire, talking about the briars, or the more scientific name of that thing is Smilax. Now, you learned a little something about Smilax not very long ago that I think you ought to share with some of the people.
I sure will, Larry. You bet. And green briar is most of us, well, we hate to get tangled up in it. It's the plant. I bet most people listening in the outdoors that follow us and read our writings and our radio talk, they know what greenbrier is. Smilax, they may not know that name, but it's if you think of it has thorns like a rose bush that sticks straight out from the stem, and it is a nightmare to get tangled up in. It'll scratch you up, and if you've ever used a machete around it, it'll cut your hands up, you need to wear gloves. But it also, here's what I've learned recently, the growth on that, you know, it grows from the tip out. And the very, the last, say, 3 or 4 inches of that growth, I read about this, that it tasted somewhat like asparagus. Well, it does. And it's very nutritious for deer. We already knew that. I learned that from you years ago, Larry, that greenbrier is a, you know, primary great food source for deer. Those little tips are awesome eating. And I wrote this in my newspaper column. It runs in a bunch of newspapers. But I did it with a disclaimer. Don't go out there unless you know what greenbrier looks like. I mean, I could just see somebody picking something that they shouldn't be picking and eating it and getting sick. A greenbrier is very, it has a heart-shaped leaf, dark green leaf, but make sure you can identify it. Most people have no problem identifying Smilax or greenbrier. But, Larry, those tips... actually around my, you know, little cabin I've got out in the trees behind the house, me and you sat around the fire there a lot. I left it natural. I don't, you know, I left a strip of woods, if you will, and just, I don't fool with it at all. There's a lot of greenbrier. I have a browse line about 6'1" up there and around that green, that stuff is tasty. So, make sure, number one, you know what greenbrier is if you want to try it. And then just eat the little tips. They grow in abundance. And what I don't know yet, what I haven't learned or don't remember by watching it, I wonder if it, right now there's a lot of those little tips, a bunch of them. But do you? I wonder through the summer if it keeps growing and put, I guess it would, and putting on new little tips that I can be eating. I can eat Smilax all summer long, possibly. Do you know if it keeps growing, Larry? Or
you know what? It is an evergreen. It's one of the few evergreens that we have in certain areas. So it's growing pretty much year round. So there are time frames, I'm sure, in there where you don't get the, you know, tremendous growth that you're doing during the springtime. But throughout the year, it's okay. Producing all the time. It's an interesting plant in so many different ways. Until you told me about this, I'd forgotten. But years ago, when I was doing a lot of wildlife biology work and dealing a lot with deer and deer food habits and all those other kind of things, I tried to eat almost everything that a deer did. And I remembered when you told me about this, about it having just, you know, taken clippings off the tops of those young greenbrier, those sprouts coming up that are kind of almost like a long tendril. And I remember eating those and thought, my God, they really are tasty kind of thing. Now they're real high in manganese and they're high in iron and they're high in calcium and all that kind of stuff. And from what you were told me and what I was able to do in terms of research in terms of humans, it helps. It's an anti-inflammatory kind of thing. So being of the age that I am, where my bones are sore at times, I'm going to go back try to see if this might help a little bit. But greenbrier is a very interesting plant. It grows kind of from a hard tuber, kind of a hard, kind of looks like a weird looking potato kind of thing. And it grows up in the trees. And if somebody is really wanting to help deer kind of thing, there are two things that you can do is cut that about 1.5 feet off the ground where those tendrils going up in the trees, and it'll start growing again from the bottom. Then the other thing is it responds very nicely to fertilizer. I mean, you can put fertilizer on if you got a bunch of greenbrier and you kind of cut it down and you throw a little bit of triple 13 or something right there in that area, you can create like a natural food plot. And that natural food plot now can include white-tailed deer and a bunch of other things, but maybe have Luke Clayton show up trying to cut the tips off of it kind of thing. But it's truly a unique plant, and it's found pretty much over most all of Texas. I'm sure there are a few areas where there's not a whole lot of it, but they're different kind of species or subspecies, if you will, of it that grows pretty much all over the great state of Texas. So, but it is one of the better deer browse species that we have. And if you have deer, you're going to be able to see that where the deer kind of chewed the tips off of it, just like you were doing there with what you're talking about in your backyard. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's always something new to learn. That was totally new to me. I had no idea. And I will say I raised the eyebrows of my wife when she said, "What in the world are you doing out there?" I'm out there standing up in the middle of the brush out there, you know, picking this stuff off. And she said, "Are you eating that?" And I said, "Well, you bet. I'll pick some for you if you want to try it out." Well, that didn't go over too good.
That didn't go over too good.
But I did put the disclaimer out because there's all kind of plants, vines. I hate to say some, you know, you don't want to be eating anything unless you know what it is. Larry, I tell you, I had some fun last week, and we might have mentioned this a little bit on last week's show. I'm not sure, but I used my AGM Global Vision scope it records sound and audio.
Yes.
And the reason I'm mentioning this is it's on I think right now on A Sportsman's Life, our digital TV show, but it was very cool. I was actually out in the middle, about a mile from the house here, and there's 42 or 43 hogs on this field.
and
I picked out about a 40-pounder, and I think we talked about it last week, the Gustado. But that is now, I think Jeff Rice has that out. I'm sure it's out by now. Sportsman's Life. And you can watch, if you've ever thought about night hunting hogs, or it's kind of the easy way to do it. But it turned out pretty good. The video through that scope was excellent. And you can see I'm always talking about making sure I'm not bragging on my marksmanship because I'm just an average shooter. But I'm always talking about I don't like to look for them at night. I want them to drop. And I'm usually shooting one 50 yards or less, you know, up pretty close. That's my goal. Well, I actually shot one about 60 yards away. And I had it right, had that crosshairs of that AGM Global Vision, that adder right behind his jaw, and another hog come up and bumped him right at the moment of squeezing the trigger. So I shot him in the front of the shoulder, but he didn't go 30 yards. But there was some, I think that'll be fun for people, maybe that's never really hunted at night with thermal. It puts you right there, you know, behind the gun when you watch it, you know?
It really does. Of course, then you can watch it again and again, too. And as you've mentioned so very many times in the past, that is a very economical scope when you come down to dealing with thermal. So, you know, that's one of the cool things. You don't have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars for that scope. And from everything you've told me about it, oh, my gosh. I mean, we've played around a little bit, you know, when we're doing just carrying it with them, we're doing like game surveys just to look at stuff at night kind of thing. And it really, really works. So that's a great way to do it. Of course, you did it from the back of a pickup and comfortable and all that other kind of good stuff. I mean, and I can't wait to get over your way, though. To me, I love the fact that you hunt hogs and I love the size hogs you shoot because – I get to eat them every once in a while. I love that.
That's true. The thermal, you know, you can spend thousands on thermal, but there's the AGM Global Vision Rattler. They make one that for the type of hunting I do, and I was using the adder on this one because of the sound, but the Rattler, of course, you can spend a couple of thousand or more on the high processor 640 core processors on those the Rattlers, but you can also buy one with a 19 millimeter lens for about $1,000. And if you're going to be shooting hogs within I don't know about, you know, coyotes, you need one with a bigger field of view because they're be moving, but especially hogs within say 100 yards, that 19 millimeter Rattler, Rattler, does a great job, Larry. So next one of these times you need to try one of these back of the pickup hunts with me. I'll get you another. I've got two swivel chairs, and then I've got a little old footstool that I put in that right next. It'll be between you and I, the little footstool looking thing, and that's where we put our thermos of coffee or whatever. There we've got that to sip on. It's just very relaxing. There's a unit that you and I use called it's a spotter. I think it's called a Taipan, a little handheld spotter.
Mm-hmm.
But we just
mm-hmm.
sat there in the dark, pitch dark, and if you happen to hear an owl come by or something and land in a tree, well, you just take that spotter and use it to look around. That way you don't have to put the rifle scope up, you know. You can just sit there.
And that's really what we used when we were doing some of the spotlight surveys on the cotton ranches, where we couldn't quite make out for sure what it was, deer, you know, standing where you just kind of see one eye or so. And that thing worked extremely well for doing that. But, you know, there's only one problem about you and I sitting on the back of a truck with a cup of coffee.
Yep.
We'd probably be talking too much for those that scared hogs.
We'd scare every hog. Well, we'll just have to tape our mouth shut or something, Larry.
There you go.
Speaking of taping our mouth shut, we're out of time.
That's what I was afraid of.
Time to put the campfire out. Larry, thank you so much for being with us, and I look forward to real soon we'll get together at a Sure Enough campfire.
Absolutely. We'll see everybody right back here next week.
Folks, this segment is made possible by Ultramatic Feeders. Go online to ultramaticfeeders.com and check out the most awesome line of game feeders in the world. I've been using these things for 15 years, and I've got one that's been in the woods about 10 or 11 years. I forget exactly how long. Check them out, ultramaticfeeders.com. Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Anything you need relating to air guns, go online to Pyramid, PYRAMYD, pyramidair.com.